Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. This morning's sermon text is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 1. It reads, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we heard, lest we drift away." By way of introduction, when reading the book of Hebrews, we need to remind ourselves who the writer is speaking to. Now, he wrote to Jewish Hebrew believers whose faith was in Jesus. They believed that they were sinners separated from God due to their sin. They believed they needed a Savior. They believed in Jesus' redemptive work on the cross and His resurrection. Yet somewhere along the way, these Hebrews may have felt insecure about their salvation. For whatever reason, due to maybe persecution from the outside, or maybe a deep conviction of sin, or basically maybe not just being truly, fully convinced in their newfound faith. So they started to revert backwards towards their Jewish backgrounds, basically trying to keep the law of Moses, the 613 commandments. They started going back to the temple, bringing animal sacrifices. Basically, they were neglecting the things that they've heard, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that He is the perfect fulfillment of all these things that we could never do perfectly, that only Jesus' redemptive work was accepted by God the Father on our behalf. And it is far greater than any religious deed or ritual that we practice today. So I want to begin reading Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It reads, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will." By way of application, 3 points arise. First point is to give serious attention to the Word of God. Second point is, do not neglect the gift of your salvation. And third, drifting is a result of not being anchored in the Word or the faith. First, give serious attention to the Word of God. Now, the first thing we see in the reading is the word "therefore." The author was basically building off of a previous thought. He spoke about the deity of Christ. He spoke about Jesus' superiority. He spoke about Jesus' preeminence over all things. And as I stated in the intro, the Jewish believers had faith in Jesus. Yet as you read the book of Hebrews, it seems they were tempted to hold on to the symbolic traditions of Judaism, which truly, it served no salvific benefit to them. Kind of like, for example, in the Catholic faith, using rosary beads to aid in prayer when it basically is not needed at all. Well, these Jewish Hebrew believers may have prayed the prayer of salvation, yet may have not have exercised any spiritual fruit. Maybe their testimony didn't demonstrate that they were in Christ, or should I say, fully committed to Christ. So in verse 1, the author states that we must give the earnest heed to the things we heard. To take heed is a call to action on our part. Our brother Scott spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. And the word "we" indicates that all believers are in the same boat. No one is better than another. Even the writer, he says "we." He didn't say "you." He said "we." We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. From the writer to the reader, from the pulpit to the pew, from the seasoned believer to the newborn believer, we all need to give serious attention to the Word of God. We need to be receptive and accept what God has divinely inspired in His truth contained in the Bible. And the key is to be spiritually receptive to every word in the Bible in its right context. You know, there's so many people that we come across that they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in other stories from the Bible. They don't believe in Jonah being swallowed by the whale. They don't believe in Noah's Ark. It's all truth. We need to be receptive to every word contained in this Bible. Again, the purpose of taking heed of the word, taking it serious, is because there is a danger that we all may drift away from the faith, away from Jesus. And Jesus shared a parable pertaining to the different hearers who get exposed to the Word of God. In Matthew, he says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives the seed, which is the gospel, by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word of God and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but only endures for a while. For when tribulations or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word and become unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, 60, some 30. So some of the Jewish Hebrew believers probably fell in one of these categories of hearers. You know, the careless hearer, the emotional hearer, the spiritually receptive hearer. And sadly, it seems like the writer was writing to Hebrews, again, who were not fully convinced in the gospel truths pertaining to their salvation, or even to Jesus. Back in chapter 1, the writer is speaking about Jesus is not an angel. So it's like their theology was almost right, but not completely. And that's what happens when one's theology is not right at all. If your theology about Jesus is wrong, if you think he's just a prophet or just a good man, then your good moral living, it won't do anything. It won't help you on Judgment Day. Salvation is from faith alone and Christ alone. Not faith plus deeds. Not faith plus rituals equals salvation. That's wrong theology. Proverbs 4:26 and 27 read, "Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil." So basically, let the word establish your paths, your way of thinking, your way of living. Taking heed to the word, our job is basically not to determine what is right and what is wrong in the Bible. Our job is to adhere what the Bible says, what it states. So basically, when a woman pastor reads 2 Timothy 2:12, and it says, "I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence," and she determines that this is wrong, then she's basically like receiving the word among the thorns, and let the deceitfulness of the world choke the word becoming unfruitful. If God's word is this woman's authority, then she would not be a pastor. No matter if she felt called to do it or not, it goes against the authority of God's word. Psalm 18:30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. So take the more earnest heed to the things we've heard. Give serious attention to the word of God. The second application is, do not neglect the gift of your salvation. So the word already established many times that one can't lose one's salvation. Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Your salvation is secure. Even at times when we stumble, praise God, for he is faithful to his word. However, even though if one is truly saved, having genuine faith in Jesus, again, the author tells us that we are all in danger of drifting away from the faith. Drifting can destroy your testimony. Drifting has consequences. It could result in some form of God's chastisement. Hebrews 2, verses 2 and 3. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hebrews 12, 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Drifting is a result of not being anchored down to the word. Remember, nothing ever stays the same. Borrowing from my motivational background I used to get into, you're either getting worse or you're getting better. You don't stay static. Nothing stays the same. So if we apply that spiritually, you're either drawing closer to Jesus or you're drifting away. You don't stay the same. Your salvation, I'm here to remind you, is a precious gift, more valuable than anything on this earth. How shall we neglect so great a salvation? Now, for illustration purposes, I want you to think of your salvation as something solid, something that you can touch. And since drifting is mainly used as a nautical term for when you're out to sea, think of your salvation as a boat. The question is, how are you maintaining it so that you're not in danger of drifting away? You know, my neighbor, he owned a boat for several years, and he loved to take it and go out fishing. However, he didn't maintain it too well. He didn't do the proper things to help it stay in good working condition. Maybe like check the engine or check the plugs or the belts or flush the seawater out, or do whatever you got to do to maintain a boat. I don't know. Maybe it became too costly for him to keep up. But he didn't maintain it. That's the point. And one day the boat didn't stop for him, and it eventually became an eyesore on my property for many years until he finally got rid of it. But it all started with neglect. My friends, when maintaining something, it becomes an act of love. So like my neighbor's boat, how often do you neglect what the author states as so great a salvation? Is it just sitting there doing nothing? Is it stuck on dry land doing nothing? Or is it out to sea where it belongs? Do you fail to maintain spiritual disciplines to help your salvation stay in good running order, I should say, to benefit you, to benefit others, to bring glory to God the Father? Do you practice spiritual disciplines, attending church regularly, Bible study, take advantage of the deeper lesson study courses in faith? How is your prayer life or daily Bible reading? Is your fellowship with God sliding? What about with others? Is it sliding? What about sharing the word, evangelizing? That's the main purpose why we're still here. That's the main purpose why the church is here. To share Jesus. To bring the light out into darkness. These are all disciplines that should be maintained, because maintenance is an act of love. John 14:15. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That means the full scope pertaining to his teachings. And the next verse is found on all these certificates that Pastor James hands out to those who complete these study courses. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is all part of not neglecting the precious gift given to you through Jesus. Do not neglect your salvation. And the third point of application is drifting as a result of not being anchored in the word or the faith. As we see, drifting results in compromise. It results in making choices that do not align with God's word. Drifting results in abandoning the very thing that serves as your purpose. As you saw with the Hebrew believers, drifting results in not being secure in your hope. That's why they may have felt compelled to go back to the tradition of their fathers. When these things happen, we find ourselves in bad places. For instance, the Apostle Paul was being transported with other prisoners by ship to Rome. And the Apostle Paul was given liberty, a certain amount of freedom, more than the other prisoners. Well, this voyage wouldn't be too safe considering the bad weather around the winter season. And Paul advised the centurion to wait out the season until the weather gets better. Acts 27:10-11, God said, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also of our lives." Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. So they ignored Paul's wise counsel because they didn't want to wait out the season. They had a purpose for the cargo they were transporting, to make money. Friends, be aware. Sometimes we can ignore God's wise counsel and make compromises because of the company that we keep. The results of drifting can happen simply by going along with the majority rather than be anchored in God's wise counsel. Well, the ship did get caught up in a storm, Acts 27:15. So when the ship was caught, it could not heed into the wind. We let her drive. Basically, the ship started to heed in a direction not planned. Sometimes even being a strong Christian, you feel like you could face any storm or and wind. But again, going along with the crowd or making compromises leads to losing control, not moving in a good direction. The ship was not going in the direction intended. And as they continued on in this voyage, the seas became more and more choppy and rough. So much so that the crew started throwing overboard the cargo that they wanted to sell. just to lighten up the ship so they could try to ride out the sea better. They were throwing things overboard that served their purpose to go on that voyage. Christian, drifting can result in tossing out the things that God has purposed in your heart as well. Yes, you're still saved, but you become unfruitful. You're not practicing any of the spiritual disciplines. You're not sharing the gospel. You're becoming accepting of things not of God or according to His will. So friends, we see that drifting doesn't serve well for the Christian. Let us take heed to the warning. Drifting can be dangerous to our testimony, dangerous leading to God's chastisement, dangerous leading to a shipwrecked faith. Let us not neglect the gifts of the Holy Spirit that He blessed upon our lives. Let us not neglect our salvation. Let's pray. Oh, dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for Your word. Father, continue to work in our hearts to better embrace it, to love it, to live it and apply it in our lives, Father. Only You can help us. Only You can help chip away at the hardened heart. Father, I pray for open ears and open hearts today to take heed to this warning that drifting is serious. That drifting can lead to a dangerous testimony for us, for others to see, not bringing glory to You. Help us, Father, continue to not neglect the gift of salvation You have given us, not neglect the blessings You have bestowed upon each and every one of our lives, but to use them. To use them for Your glory and Your glory only, Father. We thank You, Father, for the gift of salvation through Your precious Son, Jesus. We thank You in all these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now we'll have a brief interlude hymn followed by the communion devotional.